Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Cannabis Marketing Podcast. I'm Rob Howard, founder of Daily Story. Today, we're going to talk about venture capital for cannabis. And today's guest is Jordan Tritt. Jordan is the CEO and co-founder of the Panther Group. Previously, Jordan served as principal and day-to-day manager of the Panther Opportunity Fund. He has also worked as the CFO, VP of Finance, and controller for high-growth private companies and venture funds, raising over $30 million. Jordan, thanks for joining me. I think this is going to be a really interesting topic for our audience, and really looking forward to diving into it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Rob. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so you know, let's just kind of get to the meat of the matter. I mean, this is obviously a super interesting space. It's red hot. A lot of different companies going in a lot of different directions. I mean, just from my perspective, I've just seen just crazy growth. From cannabis companies to CBD companies. But the one thing that I always kind of hear them talking about is just the finance side of it and how challenging it can be. So I know just from my own experience, raising capital is just difficult. Just, I can't imagine how much more difficult it is in this industry. So how do you manage this? How do you go about having the conversation with businesses in this industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the first thing is you're absolutely right. This industry is challenging because, you know, it all starts with the fact that it's federally illegal. And so the banks, the institutions, they do not lend, they don't provide capital to the space. So you have a huge tranche of capital that doesn't, you know, exist for this. Almost, you know, similar, I'm sure we'll get into it on the marketing side with Google and Facebook and not being able to advertise on those platforms. So, you know, the first thing is that we've been in the industry since 2013. My dad is a physician entrepreneur, and he sat on the sidelines for about a year, just learning and understanding and meeting people to get his feet wet. And then he eventually started a fund, and he started on the ancillary side, you know, the not plant touching side, because he, like most people, weren't comfortable with investing initially in, you know, a business that was largely done in all cash. So that was the first fund that he had. And then he started, you know, to make some personal investments. And then in 2016 is when I joined, and we started the Panther Opportunity Fund, which was a mix of ancillary and plant touching, but predominantly ancillary companies as well. So it's really been an evolution for us in terms of getting comfortable with investing with different types of cannabis companies. And frankly, you know, the more people we know and the more experience we have, it gets easier, you know, what questions to have and who to run people and opportunities by. So it's something that has evolved for us very much.
Yeah. And so I imagine you're probably also doing a lot of more private equity type of financing versus institutional capital. Again, from my experience, I know that once institutional capital gets involved in even ancillary businesses to the cannabis industry, they tend to want to shut off any relationships with those types of, with cannabis businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah. You have to be very discreet about, you know, how you operate. That's, you know, frankly, what, you know, is so interesting about the space is that every single service and product is being started from scratch, because, you know, most, you know, incumbent players in a particular niche aren't in cannabis. So yep. There's opportunities to create businesses that, you know, eventually a lot of them expand outside of cannabis. And, you know, and that's some of our best success stories on the venture side are ones that have figured out a way to take their technology or expertise and, you know, port it outside of cannabis, which has been very interesting. But in terms of the capital that's available, you're absolutely right. It's all, you know, high net worth individuals. The most institutionalized you'll get is kind of is family offices. And then yep. You know, you're starting to see a lot of, on the debt side, a lot more private lenders, but still not, you know, any of the banks or any of the institutions that we know historically. So, but yeah, you know, at the same time, it's growing a lot and there are more and more and more people. So there's never been a, you know, more interest in the space than now, but historically it has been very challenging. And there have been many companies that have started and gone by the wayside, through the last, 10 years or whatever of this industry getting started.
Yeah. And you bring up kind of a good point about, different companies and how they get involved in the space or even don't get involved in the space. And something that we constantly run into is, we have obviously competitors that we compete with Daily Story, in the kind of marketing automation space. And it's pretty amazing how oftentimes we find that one of our competitors will do a Series A or a Series B or whatever it is. And all of a sudden their institutional capital partners come in and say, yeah, you can't put any more, you can't take any more cannabis clients on, and they have to exit that segment of the industry. And we've seen that happen kind of again and again and again. And it's, it's good for us, but it's, I get it. It creates a lot of challenges for a lot of these high growth businesses that need that capital to keep their growth rates up. And especially for an industry like this, it's just super important. So I want to talk a little bit about digital marketing. I want to get to that, obviously, because that's the whole kind of topic of this podcast. But I want to pick your brain a little more on some of the investing side of it, just because I think this is such a unique opportunity. And I just know that, my listeners who are dispensary owners or growers or manufacturers, they're all going to be super interested in this, because a lot of them, I've been talking with them, and a lot of them are really trying to figure out kind of what's the next step for growth. So let's kind of get a little nuts and bolts into some of the venture capital topics. So entity structures, are there specific types of entity structures you're looking for? Are there any best practices, any kind of balance sheet gotchas that are going to kind of raise a red flag for you guys? I mean, what are some of the things that if I'm sitting on the other side of the table from someone like you that I need to make sure I have buttoned up before we start that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So, the things we look for from an investment side are, first and foremost, is the team. So the team needs to really be put together and have strong experience and be experts in their particular area. And they also need to not be afraid to say that, we have not, this is an area where we need some expertise. One of the things we love doing as strategic investors in the space is to be able to plug the holes in a particular situation in a company with either our own expertise or, someone that we can bring in. So, we look to be partners, we look for, transparency. And so, first and foremost, we need to kind of just understand, what's going on. And then from that standpoint, I think, a good CFO can be very helpful in terms of just providing the expertise and the experience to know, what to expect in a capital raise. A lot of times this is something, I think you mentioned at the beginning, this is something that entrepreneurs really, oftentimes do not enjoy. It's like very, against their kind of their nature to be raising capital. They're usually very good at building the business and stuff. And so that doesn't scare us as long as that entrepreneur knows that, they need some help there. So it's more so about being willing to ask for help and ask the experts, what does this look like? Am I set up and stuff? Because, really in a given situation, there are, unlimited factors and things that, people need to be looking for and aware of. And so it's hard to kind of predict those other than to say, just having a good trusted partner, someone that, you've vetted and gone through other people that and trust. And they say, yeah, these guys or, women, guys and gals are, good people to work with. That's important, especially in this space.
Yeah, I think you actually just introduced a nice segue there, which is, when you do team up with a venture capital or private equity group, and you're starting that relationship, it's not just about the money. It's really about all the other things that a team such as yours can really bring to the table. And I know one of the key topics, because you and I talked about it before the call, was digital marketing. Obviously, that's the hot topic for our audience. And that's one of the skill sets, it sounds like, that your team kind of brings to bear for these potential, you know, companies that you're going to invest in. So why don't you give me a little bit of kind of insight into, you know, some of the things that you like to look for, some of the ways that you can help. I mean, there's, you know, digital marketing in the cannabis space is hard.
Right.
It's hard across a lot of different areas. So how do you help?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, digital marketing is hard. I agree with that. And it's something that, because it's difficult and because I, you know, as I alluded to, it's an easy one to shy away from because the natural outlets of Google and Facebook, you know, aren't there for you. And you, you know, people who are creative about it can kind of get around it for a little bit, but then, you know, usually it gets, you know, kind of stomped. So from that perspective, you know, a lot of people aren't even just aware that, you know, there are opportunities to be doing things intelligently with, you know, with digital advertising. So one of the things that, you know, we look at and, you know, specialize in is data-driven digital advertising. And so that data can take on different things like, you know, first party data. So customers of yours that come to your website and sign up or, you know, that type of thing, being able to advertise to those. It could be, you know, in certain instances, third party data. So audiences that, you know, people you know of that have purchased your particular product or types of products before. So taking, you know, a pool of audiences and narrowing it down to ones that are likely to, you know, be consumers of your product. And then, you know, doing other things like, you know, geofencing particular areas. So let's say you're in, you know, 100 retailers, you know, focusing on maybe the top 20 retailers that you have business in and, you know, driving more traffic into those stores and doing, you know, advertising with the retailers is another thing that's starting to gain some steam. So, you know, there are a number of things in the digital advertising world that are available, just a matter of kind of starting to open that conversation and explore, you know, what those are.
Yeah. And so are you, you know, we all like are frustrated that Google and Facebook are kind of locked out for a lot of these businesses. But I oftentimes when I talk with these customers of ours, at least in this industry, there are alternatives. So there are alternative websites that you can go run ads on, run display ads on that are quite good and can be quite effective. Obviously you're missing out on the Facebook audience and the search audience on Google. But there's definitely other ways to, you know, to reach folks. But let's talk about social. How does there's kind of all these like different parts or different kind of legs of the advertising platforms or technology sets that these businesses can use. You know, we talked a little bit about targeted advertising. What about things like social media? Is that something you guys kind of provide some guidance or recommendations on as well?
I would say that, you know, the social media platform we have, you know, the most experience on, you know, would be, you know, within cannabis is LinkedIn. Yep. And we've had, you know, tremendous success ourselves as well as for our clients, you know, developing business on LinkedIn. You know, the world changed with the pandemic, right? And it's still, you know, in parts of the country, it's still, you know, a major issue, you know, so for the time being, a lot of people are at home in front of their computer, not interacting with that many people. And so LinkedIn, you know, is certainly a way. I saw a new feature actually that they released now that's similar to Instagram at the top where people have like stories, they do video stories and they, you know, basically, hey, what's going on? You know, here's what I'm looking for. These are my ideal clients. Here's why I stand out or whatever. It's like a, you know, great way to get in front of all your business audience, right? You know, those networking groups, like, oh, you know, tell us what you do. And, you know, and now all of a sudden you're telling your, you know, thousands of connections what you do, what makes you unique. And then they're thinking about you throughout the day. So, I mean, that's what we love doing at the Panther Group is making connections and bringing more companies into our ecosystem, and then, you know, kind of bringing other worlds together. One example is we have a client called Cannabis Community, and they started as actually a Facebook group, and then they evolved into their own, they have their own marketplace platform. And they're heavily focused on a few different states right now, where they built a good community of, you know, really just advocates, professionals, consumers, you know, all kinds of people, license holders, et cetera. And so, you know, we've been able to work with them, you know, in different areas to be able to bring different groups together. So I love, you know, just bringing these communities, the marketplaces, these collections of people who are supportive of the cause and, you know, want to work together and, you know, leveraging their audiences and stuff like that. So I'd say in cannabis, what's unique about it, you know, more so is like, you know, kind of these little pseudo social communities and stuff that have been built up within the cannabis world, because we haven't really been able to, you know, utilize other medium. So it's kind of interesting how that's happened. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on social media. I mean, but we have other partners and stuff that are specialized in more of the social media side of, you know, building your brand.
Yeah. And I mean, I imagine you guys like kind of swoop in and make a bunch of introductions and have a lot of different partners that you can kind of bring into some of these companies right away. What about just data? I mean, I think you and I are pretty much on the same page as it relates to how important data is, but what are some of the kind of data points that you're looking for from these businesses when you go to and make an investment that you're hoping they have? Because if they have it, it makes your job easier as far as helping them align their marketing with digital and print and whatever else.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So, the truth is, you know, some of the stuff is there, but a lot of the stuff we hope, you know, we look for is just, again, kind of going back to what we look for in companies, is these willingness to recognize that there are, you know, areas where they, you know, maybe have underinvested in historically. And now, you know, if they're smart about it, they can, you know, invest heavily and get a significant return in terms of both, you know, immediate operational, you know, improvements and as well as long-term enterprise value. So, you know, with that being said, I mean, you know, the data piece, you know, it's always sexy to say we've got data. That's why, you know, my partner, Scott Berman, who comes from the data world, he always asks, okay, you know, how many data points do you have? And, you know, and tell me all the different schema around the data that you have, right? So, you know, we definitely know how to look at data. And we ask a question, you know, anyone talk that, you know, has any pertinent data to understand the value of that. But at this point, you know, very, very few people have, you know, fully utilized, you know, data, you know, and certainly like the first party data. So that's where Right. We get excited, because one of the projects we're working on at the Panther Group is can you hear me?
Oh yeah. Yep. I can hear you fine.
Okay. Sorry. The connection was unstable. I apologize. Okay. So one of the projects we are working on at the Panther Group is a data warehouse, where we're working with a first party data that brands have, and allowing them to, you know, put that data in and, you know, utilize some of the shared, you know, resources that you would get from combining data together. So some of those insights and stuff are some of the things we're working on right now around data as well.
Yeah, we find that a lot of these cannabis companies, especially when we go into, you know, sellers or distributors, they tend to have a lot of good data they don't realize is really good data. So things like medical card license expiration information, birth date information. Now, again, I realize a lot of this is PII, but when you personal identifiable information, for those of you, if I don't know what the acronym is, but all of that type of information can be super useful for, you know, identifying an audience. And you mentioned things like geofencing. You know, so oftentimes when we talk with customers, we're trying to convince them, or not convince them, but just make sure they know that, you know, by providing, you know, city, state, zip code, some location information, doesn't necessarily have to be address. You can use that information for targeting, for both advertising targeting, for, you know, content targeting. There's a lot of different uses for it. And I think it's kind of good advice always for any business, but cannabis in particular, to recognize that the data they have is just super valuable. And I imagine when someone sits across the table from you and can have a meaningful conversation to say, yeah, you know, we've got lots of great customer data. We've been collecting, you know, sales trends. We've been collecting, you know, behavioral information, all of that. I mean, I would imagine that is just music to your ears.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. You know, that's the start of very exciting conversations about what we can do with that data, you know, specifically like you're talking about, you know, onboarding that data, the first party data, and being able to match them and find them online. And so being able to start serving them ads, you know, directly based on, you know, the information they provided. So there's, you know, once the lists get sizable enough, yeah, what you can do with first party data and is, you know, significant. And then, you know, then we, you know, really where we come in is, you know, is kind of bringing it all together, right? Where you got a company that's growing fast, has this data that they haven't fully utilized and needs, you know, capital to grow in multitude of ways, including, you know, what they're doing on the data monetization side and on the digital advertising side. And so we come in there and, you know, help them, you know, craft the story, make sure their business, like you were asking at the beginning, you know, has all the pieces ready to go so that when they start talking to investors, it's a smooth conversation and there's no you know, having to go back and get information, that type of thing. So, you know, you start with there, bring in the capital, and we work together on the advisory side to come up with a plan to utilize that capital, what to do with the data, et cetera. And then we activate the digital advertising and the lead gen side to start driving more traffic, both on the B2B and on the B2C side, you know, whichever is applicable. And then ultimately we're looking for, you know, help these companies grow and you know, ultimately get an exit and then be a part of that as well.
That's so good for everyone, right?
Cradle to grave. Yeah. And we, exactly. Yeah.
So what, when you guys make an investment, how do you typically expect to see those funds utilized? Are you, you know, hoping to see most of those funds utilized towards sales and marketing, or is it property? Like, what's kind of the mix that you see there?
Yeah. So it definitely depends, on the type of company. So, you know, but they're a trend, you know, they're definitely like typical things, right? So as a software company, you got a lot of software companies, you know, you want to see a lot of sales and marketing going in there, and obviously a meaningful enough, you know, R&D, research and development side of things. So you want to see investment there. On the the retailer and the brand side, absolutely. I think, you know, most of the times these companies are so underinvested. I mean, we're talking to like brands that are in, you know, thousands of locations and spending, you know, under $10,000-$20,000 a month in digital advertising. I mean, like, it just doesn't, you know, that doesn't move the needle, you know, 10,000-20,000 when your product is in thousands of locations. I mean, how could, you know, that many people really, you know, benefit from that kind of spend? So I think there's a huge mismatch, you know, with the companies we see. I mean, we're not dealing with the MSOs, you know, so the MSOs may or may not, I don't know what they're spending as a percentage of their, you know, revenue, but I just know the brands and retailers we've talked to largely are underspending on the marketing side, both currently and for future proceeds. And then, you know, we try to, you know, in terms of like equipment and all that stuff, we're trying to get, you know, there are definitely more debt options available now. So to the extent that you can work in a debt piece, for some of that, you know, capital equipment, inventory, different things like that. That's a, you know, that's a lot better way to fund that, less expensive, and, you know, use the, you know, the equity stuff to fuel the growth on the sales, marketing, R&D, you know, business development kind of side of things.
Yeah. I, you know, I've been in the, on the software startup side of the business for multiple times now, and I have lots of friends that are in the kind of software space. And, mm-hmm. you know, in general, you know, we're accustomed to spending 25-30%
right.
on sales and marketing. And yes. I go talk to some of my customers, some really big brands, like brands that everyone would recognize, that are in the cannabis and CBD space. And they're spending like, you know, less than 10% on sales and marketing. Yeah. And I think part of it is to your point is they don't know where to spend it. So it's not necessarily a lack of interest.
Yeah.
It's just a lack of like places. Like it's just hard to kind of figure those problems out. And you're right. A lot of them are kind of owner operators just kind of say, you know what? I'd rather just kind of operate my business and kind of focus on my customers. And, you know, my customers will take care of my sales and marketing. And that's just really not exactly. the case. I mean, to your point, you got to spend those dollars to grow the business.
Exactly.
I
just took a trip to Michigan, which was fun to be there. And they've got a number of just, you know, retail locations I noticed in different places. And I mean, there's no I actually spoke to one of the general managers while I was there. And, you know, it was clear she was very interested in the digital advertising because she knows, you know, why is someone going to go to her store versus the one right down the street? I mean, it's hard to differentiate. But if you, you know, are hitting those people who are regular consumers with ads and different things and promotions and stuff, you know, then you're going to be top of mind to them. And then they're going to, you know, they're going to start shopping at you versus the other one. We're introducing, you know, tools and stuff that are done in the real world. You know, they're not, you know, readily available for cannabis businesses.
Yep. All right, Jordan, last question. What's your favorite part about your job? I mean, I could probably answer it for you because I think it'd be fun talking to new companies all the time, but
you stole the answer. All right, it's on. Yeah, no, it's that's the most fun part is meeting new people all the time. But I'm going to, since that's not, I'll give a different answer, which is, yeah, I just love, I alluded to this earlier. I'm a startup guy. I've always been in startups. It's wildly enjoyable for me to build things and have my handprint on them. And so I just love the fact that I'm in a space that, you know, I can really, you know, put my hands on a lot of different companies and make a lot of different things happen by, you know, just being in the, you know, in the foreground, in the background, whatever, just helping bring groups together we know, you know, should be talking to each other. So that making those connections and, you know, knowing that it's kind of cementing the space moving forward is a lot, you know, the coolest thing of my job, other yeah. than talking great people like you guys, you know, I meet new yeah. great people like you every day.
Yeah, that's fun. I got to say, that's one of the things I enjoy about doing this podcast is just I get to meet a lot of just interesting people, talk about a lot of interesting topics in this space, which I think it's just fun. Well, hey, yeah. Look, how does if one of our listeners wants to follow up with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So visit the website, thepanthergroup.co, sign up for our newsletter. And then you can always email us at info@thepanthergroup.co. Depending on, you know, kind of what you're looking for, we'll get you in touch with one of our team members. So thank you so much, Rob, for having me on the podcast today.
Yeah, I think this was a great session. I really appreciate you joining. It's obviously a good place for us to stop. Just for all of you listening, if you'd like more information about the Panther Group, or any of Jordan's contact information he referenced, we'll have that in the show notes on dailystory.com, as well as in the podcast notes themselves. And we'll include links to all those materials as well. So I'm Rob Howard. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.